The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.
So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, garments, and clothing to own him. The King of Kings, salvation brings, let love in hearts enthrone him.
And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Something sublime about the prologue John wrote for his gospel. With simple, ordinary words, he testifies to the most noble, exalted, and majestic truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John tells us of the eternal Son of God, the Word, through whom all things were created, who assumed a human nature and lived for a time among his creatures. Living in this world in our flesh, he revealed God. By his coming, he made God known on earth. In Jesus, the invisible God, whom no person could ever approach, came as a person to be with people here on earth. In Jesus, in his perfect life and in his innocent death, God has drawn the curtain back, so to speak, so that we can know him. In Jesus, God has revealed himself to us. Through Jesus, we know that God is gracious and merciful. That is, that he doesn't give us the punishments we've deserved, but instead showers us with blessings we couldn't earn. It should be clear from what I've already said that in writing of seeing in Jesus the glory of God, John wasn't talking simply about a person laying his physical eyes on Jesus. We know that the apostle did this, but this alone didn't reveal God's glory, or bestow his grace, or make God known. Now, what John writes here involves the reason Jesus took on human flesh, what he did during his earthly life, and what he accomplished by his death. Jesus coming in the flesh wasn't just so that he could live among human beings, but so that he could live for them, obey the law perfectly in their place, and then end his blameless life, bearing the punishment for their sins. We don't see Jesus rightly, really don't see him at all, unless we see him working out our salvation by everything he says and everything he does. We see Jesus rightly and come to know God when we see that everything Jesus did, he did for you and for me, for our salvation. The reason the eternal Son of God became a human being, was born of a virgin and laid in a manger, was so that he could die for you, die on the cross. And to know this is to know that God is love, that he is merciful, that he forgives your sins and gives you eternal life. This is what the prophecy we heard from Isaiah earlier is ultimately all about. The Lord first comforted his people and redeemed Jerusalem by bringing them back from exile in Babylon, back to the promised land. Ultimately, though, the Lord bared his holy arm as an infant in Bethlehem and on a cross outside of Jerusalem. It's ironic that the ancient Hebrews used the anthropomorphism of a bared arm to stand for God exercising his power and his might. Little, if either, are apparent in the manger or at Golgotha. And yet in Jesus' weakness and utter degradation, God truly was powerfully at work, doing what you or I could never do, defeating Satan, destroying the power of sin, and eliminating for sinners the inevitability of death and hell. And the Lord was doing this not just for Israel, his chosen people. Oh no, he was doing it for every sinner from Adam and Eve on. He was doing it then for you. That's what it means that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This isn't just about you being able to witness someone else's salvation. This is about seeing the salvation God has accomplished for you. The image of Jesus on a cross portrays God accomplishing his salvation for you. The same could be said of a picture or statue of Jesus in the manger, though I fear it's far too easy to see in the manger no more than just a cute little baby. Unfortunately, if that's all a person sees, they miss the glory of God, the grace and truth of Jesus revealed in his life and in his death. It's interesting, though, that in very many nativity scenes, there is a foreshadowing of the real purpose of Jesus' incarnation. Commonly, each end of the manger consists of crossed wooden legs, prefiguring, in a way, the ultimate purpose of Jesus' coming, his dying on a cross for the sin of the world. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Missouri Synod, addresses this very clearly. He writes, "What happened in Bethlehem was the fulfillment of that eternal decree of the Heavenly Father. As soon as his Son became man, The unbearable burden of all humanity's sin was laid upon him. And so, as Christ, God's sacrificial lamb for the sins of the whole world, lay in a hard crib in the dark stable, the eyes of God looked into the future to see his Son already dying on the cross. Therefore, this atonement for sins, by which God's offended holiness and righteousness were satisfied, and men were reconciled to him, was already as good as accomplished. As good as accomplished. Truly it was. Thousands of years had gone by since the first promise of a Savior. For all those centuries, in divine forbearance, God had passed over sins. Those who trusted in the promise were saved. By the time Jesus was born, only some 30 years remained before God's saving work would be complete. Then on Good Friday, it was finished, accomplished. The one who was born to save completed his work by dying for you, so that you could live with him forever. Even today, he comes to us again to forgive us in his true body and blood, in and with the bread and wine, to cleanse you from sin and sustain you in faith and strengthen you to live a new life in him. What joy on this feast of the Nativity of our Lord to receive the Incarnate One at his table, to hear his words, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Take and drink, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." This is the glory of God, grace and truth to save sinners, to save you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.